What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
They rise to unleash an orgy of evil.
Boils and ghouls, lock your doors and strap yourselves in. From Los Angeles, California, Bloody Disgusting presents the Boo Crew Podcast. Horror news, commentary, reviews, interviews, and more. With your hosts, Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio.
I'm Leo.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Trevor, and welcome to your Boo Crew Podcast, episode 415. How y'all doing?
Wow, 415. That's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's what we say when we have nothing to say. Wow, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Nice. It's been like a month, right, since we've all sat here.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Life has been nuts for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I was about to sing that Sting song.
Oh. It's been a while since I've been real chill.
Except I realize I have no voice, so I'm like, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
Oh, no.
How you been doing, Leo?
Dude, just getting by, man. Just taking experimental medication. And, oof.
Experimental just, medication?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I feel fatigued all the time.
Really?
But lucky, that's the only like side effect I have.
Well, that's, good and bad, right? It sucks being tired all the time.
Yeah.
Are you able to, are you confined to the couch or bed tired, or able to get up and function throughout the day tired?
I can't function for too long.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where if I jump in the car to run an errand, like if I have three places to go, let's say like the bank, Target, pharmacy,
yeah,
I'm only gonna do two and then go home.
I feel like that without being on any experimental medication, actually.
just wears you out, you know?
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry to hear that, man. Does it look like the solution is in the horizon?
I'm like 6 weeks in or so, and There's some hope. But, man, I'm still dealing with it, you know?
Oh, man, that sucks. We haven't been in the same room for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you've had this time, have you been watching a lot of horror movies? Have you been able to sit and chill and watch some stuff?
I didn't really need to because I have my own body horror.
Right. Exactly. Like, you're living your own Cronenberg movie.
I think that's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write out the story, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you.
No, actually, believe it or not, it's been tough to sit there to watch anything, you know? But I have to force myself because I can't be up all night.
Yeah.
So I try to tire myself out. You know, it's like, all right, what can I watch next? You know, it's like, what's on? What's going on? What's new? And then, you know, you hit the midnight hour, 1, 2 a.m. And it's like, all right, I got to fall asleep now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So far that works. You know, so yes, watching some horror. Yeah, for sure. And some random stuff here and there. But yeah, some good stuff out there for sure.
I wanted to mention to anyone listening that Monsterpalooza, big convention that happens out here every year out in Pasadena that we love. They're doing it again this year, May 31st through June 2nd. If you're in the area,
nice.
Or if you live out here, you can find us. We got a big booth this year, Leah. We're in the main hall this year.
Woohoo.
Oh, damn.
A double booth. So that'll be fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And a spot at the museum this year. The Monster Museum.
That's so cool.
Which is like our favorite part of the whole thing. So yeah,
that's
Leo, we're gonna drag some stuff from here in the studio over there, some life-size statues and whatnot, some trinkets from different movies maybe that we love for you to see, to share with y'all. And
nice.
Yeah, if you haven't been to Monsterpalooza, it's like over 450 exhibitors, massive Pasadena Convention Center, the Monster Museum, makeup demos, celebrity autograph meet and greets, panels, the whole nine yards. It's just a great weekend. And come up and say hi.
Yeah, and then there's Rubio's Tacos that's across the street.
Yes.
Which is so good.
Strong recommend right there.
That's right.
There are so many new horror films coming out in the next little while and stuff that has been coming out that I just wanted to run down some of these because some of them are Boo Crew-centric. Some of them you may see us talking about in the very near future. One of which, yeah. Immaculate, March 22nd, directed by Michael Mohan. March 13th, Bloody Disgusting is actually hosting sneak preview screenings across the country. So you can hit up bloodydisgusting.com for more on that. And it follows Sydney Sweeney playing Cecilia, a woman of devout faith who's warmly welcomed to the picturesque, perfect Italian countryside. There you go, Leo, the living in Leo's country, where she's offered a new role at an illustrious convent that harbors dark and horrifying secrets. And if that sounds interesting, you could also check out Michael Mohan's other project with Sydney from 2021 on Prime Video. It looks really good. It's a dramatic thriller called Voyeurs. And he also wrote and created Netflix's Everything Sucks, which our daughter was telling us all about that I've not seen. And that's on Netflix.
Wait, didn't we see Voyeurs?
No. No, we did not. I didn't see Voyeurs. It's like about an apartment building.
Oh, no.
Able to see across kind of thing.
What the heck am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of Voyager? Is it the space one you're thinking of? With like
Lily Rose Depp.
Lily Rose Depp.
Yeah. And Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
That was a great one. I think that was that called Voyagers or Voyagers?
Maybe Voyagers.
Voyagers.
Yeah. That was an awesome one.
That was really fun. I love that one.
Yeah. If you're listening and haven't seen that one, definitely check that out. And you know what? This is kind of like it's the month of the spring of religious horror because also in I think it's April. Is it April? The First Omen. When does that thing come out, guys? Do you know? I'm going to Google it real quick. First Omen.
I feel like
April 5th.
That's on purpose, right?
What? Oh, like Easter?
Yeah.
Right. Lord has risen. Is that what they say?
Yeah, it's probably they're like
the Dark Lord has risen.
Playing it, they're like, oh, okay, when's a good time? Okay, let's do it around Easter.
And that's Nell Tigerfree, Bill Nye, and Ralph Ineson. And this is a prequel to the 1976 film. And this one follows an American woman sent to work at a church in Rome who uncovers a conspiracy to bring about the birth of the Antichrist. And that's directed by first-time feature director Akasha Stevenson. And produced by David S. Goyer, who's iconic. He wrote Chris Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, directed Blade Trinity, and a ton of other things. Co-wrote 1998's Dark City with Kiefer Sutherland. I have a horror confession to make. I have not seen the original Omen.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that one's a good one to watch.
I have not seen it.
What?
Is there a couple of those, Leo?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I mean, there's a lot. Maybe though, here's the thing about that movie. That movie, I mean, I know I brought it up as trivia before, but I know you guys probably heard this before, but The Omen, the original Omen, is what saved and allowed Star Wars to get funded and be made.
Oh, yeah. What was the story behind that?
Because the movie studio, Fox, I guess it was Fox, they were kind of in the red. They were going under. Like, they just, you know, weren't doing well. And then Richard Donner, who made the Superman movie and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was casting for The Omen, and every bit along the way, the studio was fighting him. They're like, can't do religious horror. You can't put it in a hospital. You can't shoot in a real hospital. You can't call it The Omen, you know? And he's like, look, either you give me all this, and I want Gregory Peck of course, you know, won the Oscar. We know,
yeah,
know him from To Kill a Mockingbird. Bert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were like, no, he's too old. He's old. He's washed up, you know. So along the way, it was like, no. And then he got his way because he said, look, I'm going to walk. I'm just cancel everything. And they gave it to him. So the movie is great. Great. Gregory Peck is awesome in it. The kid's amazing who plays Damien.
So creepy.
Yeah. And there's some crazy scenes, dude. Like, once you watch it or look into, like, the making of or the... Actually, I think we might have seen it. It was in Cursed Film.
That's right. It was
special.
Yep.
They talked about it and like the baboons and all that. Like, it's crazy things happen, man. But yeah, it's worth a watch. It's worth a watch.
I can't wait.
Kind of jealous. This is your first time experiencing
it. I know that. I love those moments, right? It's fun to be on the other side of those.
I watched that with my cousin Joey.
Really?
Thanksgiving. I was like probably too young to watch it.
See,
like,
I'm glad. I'm actually glad I got to wait until now to see it. But yeah, there's a bunch of movies like that. I hadn't seen The Changeling actually till recently. And that's great to be able to be at my age and having watched the things that I've seen to be able to still have those things, pieces of iconography to discover. A couple of quick facts also about The Omen that I've looked up since we were talking about it. It was one of the highest grossing films of 1976. It earned 2 Oscar nominations, winning Best Original Score for Jerry Goldsmith, his only Oscar win. And after this, Damien Omen 2 was released 2 years later, then Omen 3, The Final Conflict, and Omen 4, The Awakening in 91. A remake was put out in 2006. And here we are with this prequel with the fantabulous Nell Tigerfree, who is incredible.
Oh, she's amazing.
If you haven't seen Servant,
oh my God,
what are you waiting for?
You're missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our religious horror offering, the two, Immaculate and The First Omen. So that's some great stuff to look forward to. Then there's a movie that was put out, I think it was like last year, might have aired, played at the Toronto Film Fest. And I'd seen trailers for it like ages ago. And it's finally coming out April 26th, Boy Kills World. So this is a movie with Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise, of course, and Jessica Roth.
She's
our buddy from Happy Death Day. She's incredible. And then Famke Janssen shows up in this thing too.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
And this thing kind of looks like, from the trailer, martial arts mixed with video games, almost reminiscent of the gonzo action of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And it's got some great people attached to it as producers, Sam Raimi and Roy Lee.
Oh my gosh, that's a dream team right there.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that
Roy Lee and, you know, him in.
Yeah, I can't wait to check this out.
This is going to be the feature directorial debut of Moritz Moore. So, yeah, I'm sure what's in store for us is insane. And it's always great to see Jessica Roth.
Oh, she's so badass.
Yes.
Yeah. And a little spoiler alert. Jessica Roth is actually showing up in a couple upcoming episodes of Lauren and myself's other podcast, The Antiquarium of Sinister Happenings and Odd Goings On.
I can't wait.
As an actress.
Cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. Very it was so cool. Great to see her.
I can't wait.
Yeah, she came in and did a session a couple weeks ago.
That's so nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, she's the coolest. And hopefully we'll have her on again really soon for Boy Kills World if all goes well.
Yeah.
That'd be great. What else here? Oh, and then, of course, we've talked about it for forever. It feels like Late Night with the Devil. We finally get to see it March 22nd. Yeah, March 22nd.
I got an invitation for us all to go see it.
What?
Yeah, I look. It's in the freaking UK. March 22nd. I was like, hello.
They invited us to see it in the UK?
Yep.
Yeah, I can get my emergency visa. Then
wait, on the actual release date, though. It's not even an advanced screening. No. We can see it here on March 22nd.
I know.
In the
UK. Did it come with flight?
No.
Oh, well, what the heck? That's
so funny. Of course
not.
I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
We can't make that one.
I would love to. I've never been.
I know. That would be really fun, but.
Yeah.
So this is Cameron and Colin Cairns. Film that they put together, a found footage horror film, and it stars the wonderful David Dastmalchian. It had its debut about a year ago, March 10th, at South by Southwest in Austin. where it earned heaps of praise, including the blessing of one Mr. Stephen King. And if you get that Stephen King blessing, you know, remember Evil Dead had the famous Stephen King quote on it. Well, this one says, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And then we were talking to Roy Lee back in 2022 when Barbarian, Zach Kreger's Barbarian came out. Roy Lee was the producer of that. And he was talking to us about amazing horror films that he's seen and that he's excited about. And this was at the top of his list. Practical effects.
Yes.
Puppetry is happening. Period piece set in the 70s.
You just look at that poster and you're this is going to be amazing.
I refuse to watch the trailer because I'm so excited.
I haven't seen the trailer.
I watched it. It's a teaser. Doesn't show you anything.
Oh, that's good.
It shows you how good David Dysnalchin is as a talk show host. And it doesn't show you anything, but it ends on a really creepy note. You're like, what the hell is about to happen?
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
So yeah, it leaves you wanting more, definitely.
I'm so excited. There's actually a screening out here, I think at the Alamo Draft House, which a place I have not been. Have you been, Leo, to the Draft House out here?
The one downtown?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have. What's the story with it? Because, dude, I've never seen anything. All I know about the Draft House is you're not allowed to talk or they, like, shoot you right there.
Actually, I was there for a screening of James Fox's the Brazilian UFO.
Oh, they screened that over there?
Yeah, they screened it. Everybody was there, dude. George Norrie was there. It was like, I'm sure. Like,
was Corbell there?
I was there.
Like, probably, yeah,
I'm pretty sure, dude.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
What's the vibe of that theater anyway?
Normally, I don't know, but for that particular screening, it's pretty cool. It's a type of place that, you know, they don't allow talking, like they don't want you showing up late, you know. Like, they don't mess around, you know? It's like, if you're there to mess around, they will kick you out.
I like that. Although the showing up late part, I mean, we always show up late. That part sucks. But the no talking, I understand. That should be punishable by murder.
You're right, though. I mean, it is downtown. It's, you got to park in that structure. You know, it's like not easy to get, you know what I'm saying? It's
sure.
Like, it takes a while to get to, and, you know. But yeah, I was there for the screening, a Moment of Contact, the premiere, the LA premiere.
Oh, wow.
And what sucked was I couldn't stay after for the Q&A because, man, after that movie, you really have questions.
Oh, we saw part of it, and I was already like, oh, my God. And by the way, Lauren's got some UFO stuff to talk about, I think, today, here in a bit, for those who are into the space aliens. Nice. One thing I wanted to add on Late Night with the Devil that I thought was a really cool piece of trivia, that on the credit list, not only do you get Roy Lee, but a very special note, a guy by the name of Joel Anderson. Joel has a lot of mystique about him because his only other feature film credit is writing and directing the legendary 2008 found footage nightmare Lake Mungo. One of the most creepy and eerie horror films maybe ever made. A favorite of many well-known horror directors as well. He just disappeared. As far as I know, Dad didn't do interviews, nothing. Ever since then, just stopped. Didn't want to talk about it, nothing. No one's heard from him. All of a sudden, he shows up as producer on this marvelous entity we're about to see, Late Night with the Devil. So,
wow.
That tells me something.
Yeah, speaks volumes.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited. Let's see. I guess it leads into what I wanted to talk about for a movie that I saw this past week and get me over with so you guys can actually do the good talking here. But I saw a new found footage movie that I heard some buzz about online, so I decided to give it a go. It's free on Tubi, so no harm, no foul. And it's brand new by a first-time director, Sean Robinson. And it's called Life of Belle. And
Life of Belle.
Yeah, it is so damn good. It's just over an hour long, so it doesn't require much of a commitment. Found footage film, and Belle is an 8-year-old girl. And the whole cast is made up of Sean's family. His brother plays the father, his wife plays the wife, his kids are the two kids in the movie. And they're the kids are fantastic, and they really carry the whole thing. It kind of is remnants of Paranormal Activity, where you get a lot of nice lingering night vision shots, because the whole story basically is the dad goes away on a business trip and you're left experiencing what happens when he leaves through the security cameras in the house. And then he gives his 8-year-old girl, Belle, a vlogging camera. Because she wants to be a YouTube vlogger when she grows up. So she starts doing this YouTube, she has fake YouTube channel called The Life of Belle. So she's kind of documenting things that are happening while the dad's gone. And sure enough, mom starts acting a little strange as soon as dad leaves. And you get watch this descent of whatever it is you don't know happen. And it's keeps you guessing the entire time. And there is some, it gets to some really incredibly, incredibly dark and disturbing territory. It becomes hard to watch at some point, and it's got a tremendous ending. One of those endings, though, where Lauren was upstairs at this point, and I was downstairs, I think, watching the rest of it, or maybe you were asleep, I don't know, but I was there experiencing the end of it by myself, and at the moment it ended, I was too scared to get off the couch. Because it's that, like, there's not many movies like that. I think, like, Hell House LLC Part 2 did that to me. And the original Paranormal Activity, which I saw on an airplane, did that to me on an airplane. And this one did this to me in my own house. Because, it takes place in the family's home. Entirely in the family's house. Oh,
right.
Really recommend it. Life of Belle. Go on Tubi. It is free.
Definitely gonna watch that, man. I think this might be the episode of depending if we got a trifecta with Lauren, but this might be the episode of Found Footage.
Oh, interesting.
I too watched something that just popped up on Screambox, a movie called Horror in the High Desert.
I've not heard of this.
Yeah, it's popped up on Screambox. I'm like, I'm gonna check this out. And I didn't know it was Found Footage. I didn't know what the format, what was going on with the movie.
Brand new? Did it come out this year, or was it just
it's a couple years old, but I think it was probably recently acquired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's written and directed by Dutch Merritt. And it's basically a story of this guy named Gary Hinge, who, like, a few years ago, I guess in 2017, you know, or so, he goes out to the desert. He's one of those outdoor enthusiasts, like survivalist guys, you know, like the guy who learns on YouTube, like how to start a fire, how to eat off the land.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Like Survivor Man and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he starts doing that.
That's a great idea. That's a great premise for a found footage horror film, by the way. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's definitely something new and different. Because the guy, when you start seeing him on camera, you're like, kind of goofy. Like, what's his story, you know? But you can tell that he's been practicing, so he'll go out there for 2-3 weeks at a time and just live off the land and come back, and he'll do it in the middle of summer where it's like 130 degrees, you know? Like crazy things, you know? But then this one time he goes missing. So it's like, what you're actually watching, and this is no spoilers or anything, what you're watching is you're watching interviews of, like, his sister, a private investigator, and a radio news, you know, DJ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're watching interviews of people talk about the case and what they found and how, like, one thing leads to another, you know? It's kind of like...
One thing leads to another. Yes. So we're watching House of the Devil this weekend, so that's where that came
from. House of the Devil, yes. but yeah, pretty funny that, not funny, but it just leads you to one clue after another, and then there's a bombshell that drops, you know, and then it's like the movie just explodes and kind of like, oh, now we're going to get to know what's going on, you know? So I really enjoy that aspect of it. Other thing I really enjoyed about the movie, it's high definition. So this might be the first found footage movie that is in high def that I've seen. Because, you know, everything is stylized, you know?
Yep.
Like 8mm, you know, film, 35mm film for Blair Witch, and even Lake Mungo was 35mm, you know, it's like grainy, trying to make it spooky and all that, you know, and here you're watching clear as day, clear as night, high definition footage. I'm like, oh, is this something different? Like, to the point where, you know, it looks too clean. It looks too real. But luckily, the acting's good. So the stories are believable, you know? And then when you get to, like, you know, the unveiling of what's going on, like, you know, things look great, you know? And it's a well-made movie. It's got some good ideas. It kind of reminded me of Lake Mungo, even though the plot is nothing to do with it or even close to it. But it just has that element of, you know, the interviewers and the witnesses, sure, and friends.
Like the mechanics of it are kind of like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sucked me in. So if you're a fan of found footage movies, I would go ahead and recommend this because it's just another one that did something a little bit different than the other ones, and it's effective. I thought it was good, and it's currently playing on Screambox, or I guess you can find it on Prime Video as well.
I'm a sucker for found footage films, I gotta admit.
So you are.
I'm all about it. There was another one, yeah, Leo, that came up that I wanted to know if you saw. I know, Lauren, you haven't seen it. I've heard people talk about it before. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it the Poughkeepsie Tapes or the Poughkeepsie Tapes? Do you know what I'm talking about, Leo?
Yes.
Have you seen this
seen
thing?
The one, yeah. Yeah.
Is it like about murder? Is it about like a serial killer? You're watching his tapes, basically. Is that the premise of it?
Yeah, there's. I remember it was well done because it was creepy. You know, and then it takes a turn, and then it kind of becomes something else. It's still good and still interesting. But I remember that came out after Blair Witch, so it would have been somewhere in the early 2000s, I think. Okay. So, but yeah, there were a number of films around the time. I remember there was The Last Broadcast.
Oh yeah, I remember The Last Broadcast. Yeah,
tapes. Yeah, yeah. So some of them share some elements of like crime and stuff, you know, but yeah, it's refreshing to see horror in the high desert where it's like high def footage, you know, and you're like, whoa, this is clean, you know. Just goes to show you that even with the latest technologies, it just takes a good idea.
Yep.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'll tell you, I've been out the desert. I've camped out in the desert for days and days, and it's really creepy out there, even though it's flat and you can see for like 30 miles, you know, around you. It just, you feel like you're not alone, you know.
Sure. And that's the kind of place where if you are alone and you, and it's the middle of the night and there's a light or something that you see,
yeah,
drive by, or a flashlight all of a sudden, that's really freaky.
Yep.
Because it's something, oh, yeah, that should not be there. That's bad news.
That's true.
Right.
The Boo Crew will be right back.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken. To find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Science has not solved all the riddles of the universe, for hidden deep within us is the touchstone of terror. Expose it, and the paralysis of fright will freeze you with horror. Such is the power of Black Sunday. Black Sunday. It comes but once every 100 years. Until then, the undead demons lie entombed waiting, waiting. But on the moment, they rise to unleash an orgy of evil. From the grave they come seeking blood. Blood. Life. not since Dracula stalked the earth has there been such a terrifying day and night as Black Sunday, presented by American International Pictures.
Speaking of lights that shouldn't be there, Lauren, I'm assuming nice. You got some, we're going to get some alien visitors. Someone who's been afraid to sleep because they've been watching too many alien abduction documentaries.
Oh my gosh. Man. I'm like convinced that I'm going to be abducted. She's totally traumatized herself.
She's like fed herself so much of this alien stuff that she is just like,
I gotta take a step back. But before I take that step, I will tell you all about what I've been watching. I really like UFO and UAP documentaries. They're super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked out Shock Docs, The Visitors, with Whitley Strieber. Have you seen this, Leo? Yeah.
Yes. He's known. I think he's the author of the book Communion, I think.
Yes, he is. There's a whole documentary that came out in 2022, and it was directed by Mark Mirabella. And basically, in 1985, if you don't know the story, Whitley Strieber, who later became an author, was taken by extraterrestrial beings, which scares me so much to even say it. Led him to a lifelong journey to demonstrate that we are not alone in this universe.
Was he the guy, was it that other movie that was done in the... what was that movie we were talking about the other day?
Fire in the Sky.
Yes, is no. this the guy?
No, that's Travis Walton.
Okay, it's a different dude. Okay.
It's Travis Walton.
All right, yeah. So the Communion guy, okay.
So during the documentary, after 3 decades, Whitley revisits the isolated cabin to determine if he can still communicate with the visitors.
What's the guy who was crying, right?
Yeah, there was lots of crying. I was crying, too, because I was so scared. But it's really interesting, and I believe in this, so I know there are a lot of people that don't. So to me, it mattered, the story. And it's just like you hear so many people say such similar things about abductions and, you know, the different kind of aliens that are there. And then after I watched that, because what happens is it recommends like all these other things for you to feast your eyes on. So after I watched that, I watched Alien Abduction, Travis Walton.
And that's the Fire in the Sky guy.
Yes. Yeah. That nice. Was directed by Jennifer Stein, and it also aired in 2022. And so if you haven't seen A Fire in the Sky, it's a very scary movie that I saw when I was really young. I think it kind of traumatized me and made me really interested in aliens. But I think that at the time, seeing that as a kid, I thought for sure that it was fake. Like, oh, this must be movie magic. This couldn't possibly happen. It's way too scary. But this documentary, if you don't know about Travis Walton or the film or book, A Fire in the Sky, in 1975, a group of 6 loggers in Arizona claim that one of their crewmates was abducted by a UFO. This event was known as the Travis Walton story, and it gained worldwide attention and caused turmoil in a very tiny town. So the documentary, after 4 decades, new evidence has emerged that sheds light on the true story behind the infamous Fire in the Sky incident. I wouldn't say like the new evidence is the reason to watch it, because that part was kind of like
disappointing.
It's like, oh, yeah. I don't know how different this is than the story that I've heard. But it was done well. It was very, very interesting. And like you hear it's like they interview the crew members, whoever's still alive, because a few of them have unfortunately passed on. But yeah, it's just like you look in their eyes and they do not look like they're lying. And his wife is still alive, and you know, he just seems like he's still struggling with it. You know, I could imagine. And then I can't remember which one of these documentaries, but one of them, there's like hypnosis. And
was it the guy with the cabin, right? I think when I walked in and he was in tears, right?
Yeah. So that is really creepy to hear those tapes of, you know, them explaining what happened. But the Travis Walton one, they talk about the Nordics, that he saw Nordics.
Oh, are those the blonde, tall?
Yeah,
aliens?
The ones that look like some of us.
Yeah.
Like Scandinavian.
Spoiler alert, you're married to one, Lauren. You're going to find out in 2027.
When yeah, exactly. When I finally get to reveal myself, my true self. What kind of stuff was happening to the fire in the sky, guys? What do they claim? It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
So they're loggers, so they cut wood.
Yeah.
And they were in a truck leaving, and it was getting dark, and they saw this giant blue beam of light because the woods were pitch dark.
Yeah.
You know, because they're cutting these really big trees in the middle of nowhere. And Travis got out of the car because he was like, I want to see what this is. And it was kind of in this open space, and he ducked and was watching this craft, and they're all yelling at him, like, get back in the truck. Like, what are you doing? And I guess it was making some like humming noise. And then he was hiding from it, and for some reason he stood up like, I'm going to run back to the truck now. And the light like grabbed him, like picked him up. They saw his body floating, and he went into the craft, and the craft disappeared. Then they go back and they call 911 and are like, our friend got abducted. And the police are like, yeah, right. And they're looking for the body. They're like, these guys murdered their friend. This has to be like, what is this? But they're all like, no, we didn't. He was abducted. There was a craft. Like, I can't explain it, but this is what happened. And he's missing for 5 days. They can't find him anywhere. Everybody's looking for him. They're all like, don't leave town. We think you did something horrible. But in the meantime, they're trying to search for him.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find his body anywhere, like no trace of him. And so after 5 days, the phone rings at his house. And I think his like brother-in-law answered it, and it was him. And he was like, I'm here. You need to come pick me up. And he thought it was that same night. They're like, you've been missing for 5 days. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like he couldn't really remember. And then he started to remember, like he remembered the craft and like seeing a light, but then
didn't remember anything after that. Just all of a sudden I'm back.
Yeah. And just like what happened, that was that night. And then it slowly reveals that, you know, kind of like the horror that he went through. You know, there were beings that didn't look like him, you know, like the grays that we typically see. They had like no emotion. They were just, you know, strapping him on these examination tables. And then at one point, I feel like, am I like spoiling?
No. I mean, I think it's a fascinating story. This is great.
So at one point they, you know, he sees someone that looks like a human being, like taking, like, and he's trying to talk to them. They're not talking back, but they look just like him.
Oh, that's eerie.
And he leads them into a room where, because he like got free at one point, and he led them to a room where there were a bunch of people that looked like him, but nobody would say anything. And then at one point they put like a mask on him, and then he just doesn't remember. The next thing he remembers,
creepy as hell,
was like 5 days later. Like, see that? Like, now I'm scared to go outside. Like, I'm scared to go outside this room because I'm afraid they're going to be there.
That would be extraordinary, though, if a spaceship was outside and, like, shot a beam of light. Wouldn't you be like, wow, aliens are definitely real. I can firsthand. I have an experience. This is crazy.
No, I don't want that. Give that experience to someone else.
Leo, would you want that experience?
Nobody wants that.
I'd probably get electrocuted.
Yeah, it's like, that's...
Because I would piss myself, and then whatever beam of light they shoot me with, I'm sure I'll get shocked.
Yeah, I would die because I'd be like... of fear. Like, that would be it.
I mean, I think about what that, if that happens one day where you'd go outside and there's a spaceship like the size of like everything you can see in the sky, like it covers everything. Man. Just a massive craft. Because they were saying I guess they were saying the smaller crafts, right, in some of these UFO hearings and things, you know, from people in the military, that things that have allegedly been recovered are smaller craft that you walk into that are the size of like football fields.
Yeah.
On the inside.
But they don't look like that.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah. So it sounds like kind of like the craft that this guy got into allegedly was huge.
Yeah. And what's interesting is like he didn't have any like suit on. So like how did they get oxygen? I mean, I'm assuming they were like, where the frick were they? Where he didn't need oxygen.
Yeah. Unless it's that interdimensional craft of some sort or whatever, you know, wherever my sunglasses are.
That's
it's right. Interdimensional, some interdimensional being, I swear, took my sunglasses. You
know, maybe it wasn't their first rodeo and they know, hey, if we're going to take a human... they need some kind of food and water, you know.
Yes.
They're going to be passed out, you know.
They did say that they had tested him to see if he had ketos, right? And that to see if his body was like eating itself because of starvation. And there were no signs of that. So somehow he was nourished.
This is crazy. Was there, in that particular case, was there any other people who saw anything in the area besides the guys who were actually there? Like any other witnesses of lights in the sky that night or anything?
Yeah, I mean, people had said that they're like, we see them all the time. Like there are certain people, but the town's very small. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time, in the 70s, it was like, are you kidding me? Like nobody was open to that kind of thing.
Right, yeah. It's like, what's wrong with you?
You're all crazy. Mm-hmm. But... they were saying in the documentary that now, you know, in 2024, people are way more accepting of the story and believe it, more so than at the time when it happened. So that if you want something to really scare you, just watch the documentary, watch the film, read about it, go down the rabbit hole of the aliens and UAPs, maybe you won't get scared, but I definitely do get scared. This is like my new ghost thing. Like, scared of ghosts now. I'm still scared of ghosts, but now I'm scared of aliens.
You know what? One of the interesting things about that case, the Travis Walton case, is that all his friends, all the lumber guys that were with him, over the years, they've been tested, you know, polygraphed, you know?
Yeah.
And their story never changed once, and they all passed the polygraph every single time.
Yep. There was, all of them passed, and the guy who issued the polygraph was like, okay, they're telling the truth. Like, this is crazy, but they're definitely telling the truth. There was, yeah. I think, one guy who it was inconclusive, but the only reason why is because he, I guess it took hours to do, it takes hours to do a polygraph, and he got really irritated that he was still there, and he just took everything off and left.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, if you're in the movies or if you're put in a hospital, you pull off all those,
yeah,
all the suction cuppy things,
but just like
run out, yeah,
left, like. So
there's a funny story. I got a text from
an alien.
One of our, no,
oh,
close though. Okay, I got a text from Melissa Barockman, who's one of our listeners, friends of the show. You know, she and her husband Cliff, they run the North American Bigfoot, oh,
yeah,
Center Museum.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. She sent me a photo, right, and it's a photo of her and Travis Walton next to Bigfoot.
In the oh, that's cool.
Bigfoot they have outside. And the funny story is, she didn't recognize him. Like, Travis came into the shop and was talking to her husband about Bigfoot, because her husband Cliff used to be on the Animal Planet Bigfoot shows and all that, you know? So they were talking about Bigfoot and all that, and then she didn't put two and two together. But it's kind of funny, because Travis Walton's a very unique-looking guy that if I saw him knocking at my door, I would recognize him immediately, you know? Like, I'd be like, Travis Walton, what are you doing here? I know. But it's kind of funny how it wasn't until like the end of the conversation. It's like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm, you know, I give speeches and I write books and this, whatever. And she's like, oh, I'm Travis Walton. And she's like, wait a minute. Oh, you're the abduction guy, you know? So it's kind of funny that she didn't put two and two together until like he was about to leave.
I can never talk to him.
I was going to ask you, like, should we get him on? Like, try and get him on?
No.
Why?
Because, like, it's going to be too scary. Like
too real?
I can't hear it.
Yeah, his story's real.
What if, like, they connect me to him? And they're like, oh, we're looking.
Oh, you think, like, a psychic connection between.
They're going to come looking for me. The aliens.
Yeah.
Then we know there are aliens for sure.
Okay.
You could be like the.
I already know. I don't need to know in real life. I don't need to know. I believe. Okay. There's just too many.
That would be such a good episode, though. Like, if you got abducted and then came back and talked about it.
Seriously, fuck you.
Yeah.
How about you get abducted?
I mean,
no thanks.
Our kids would fail out of school.
Take me.
Why would our kids fail out of school if I got abducted?
Oh no! If I got
all become YouTubers, all your kids would become famous YouTubers. Mom got abducted.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh
we'd
my!
We set them up for life. Are you kidding me?
No, thanks. Let's just not. Yeah. There's much. If you're listening, aliens, there are much better people to abduct than us. We're boring. There's much interesting people that you should examine.
Much interesting people?
See, I'm so scared I can't even talk.
Can't even talk.
That's funny.
See,
there's
you
much
don't want
interesting
me.
People.
You don't want me. I can't even talk. What are you?
That's how the Nordics talk. they speak in broken words.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like, our poor kids, like, they know so much about, like, not too much, because I don't let them know like the dark stuff.
Right, yeah, but, yeah. You're always like pressing pause.
They know enough about UAPs and aliens, and Jade checked out a book from the library about UAPs, and she didn't actually read it, but I think she was like, oh, my mom would really
like crazy
it.
Mom loves to watch.
Yeah. Or they'll come in and be like, oh God, what are you listening to? Like, what? So
I remember I watched Fire in the Sky in Lumsden, Saskatchewan. It's been so long, I don't remember exactly.
That sounds like a place where you would be abducted.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's exactly a place you'd be abducted. And I watched it with that movie, Three Men and a Baby. And we were all excited about seeing the ghost
the
in the movie.
Ghost.
Yeah. Oh, was it behind a curtain or something?
It was like in the baby's room, I think.
Yes. Did you see the ghost in that thing?
No, I was always too scared to watch.
Really?
That's funny.
I heard it was like a cardboard cutout of one of the
sure.
Like Steve Guttenberg or Ted Danson or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Look out for the ghost in Three Men and a Baby. All right. Is that it, guys? Are we good for this incredible episode?
I would like to say that for those of you interested in props, there is a prop store auction happening on March 12th through 14th. Some great items like the chair from Get Out, screen matched, amazing.
Like the chair when it's like on the cover, right?
Yeah.
Like sitting in the, what's it called? The
Hypnotized?
Yeah, but what's it called?
The further? No.
No, not the further. Not the upside down.
Oh, boy.
Is it the other? What the
hell? Oh, my gosh.
We got to know.
The sunken place.
The sunken place.
Thank you,
Leo. Yes. Wow. The chair.
There's some really cool stuff.
What else? Bring us more.
I don't want to talk about too much because there's stuff I want.
I get it.
Not that I'm going to get any of
it.
You
can go on propstore.com and you could see all the stuff and bid. And
yeah, there's some great horror stuff. So look out for it.
I love these auctions.
I know.
I also hate it because it's very dangerous. Good way to go completely bankrupt.
That's true. But it's really fun to watch. If you've never watched an auction. Oh,
so fun.
It's like a sports
thing. Yeah, it's our sports thing. I can't watch sports, but I can watch these auctions like it was sports. Yeah. Like you're watching, like you're hoping people. I mean, it's like even more exciting. To me, it's more at stake.
Yeah. It's exciting to watch other people get really into it.
Yeah, start throwing crazy amounts of money.
Yeah.
What was it, like a TIE fighter model sold for like over $1 million? Last year from an auction?
From Star Wars,
yeah.
2.4.
Was it an X-Wing or a TIE?
I think it was an X-Wing.
X-Wing, yeah.
$2.4 million.
And it was pretty small. Like a plastic model miniature kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, there's some stuff from Tucker and Dale versus Evil, right?
Oh, that's a great movie.
That's so fun. Trying to think what else.
You're choosing things cautiously. I could see your head's going, shouldn't talk about that one. Should talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're trying to like see the cool stuff, like not the cool stuff you really want.
Hey, I wanted that chair.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just, I think it's going to go for a lot of money.
So that's happening what days? This weekend or just after this weekend? I keep thinking it's this weekend.
No, it's the 12th through the 14th.
Which is?
Tuesday.
Okay.
Starts Tuesday. And there's a jacket from Indiana Jones. There's all kinds of great stuff. Stuff from Back to the Future. But yeah, go check it out.
And as far as the Boo Crew goes, this is, I don't know, it feels like... This is kind of going to, what's that? The last episode. Yeah. No, it kind of feels like it's going to be a return to the way, a return to the way things have been traditionally, right? We're going to try and keep up some regularity here.
We keep saying,
we promise it's going to be better. But I really think because there are things that are scheduled, like in the works, some really big, fun things.
There is.
And it all starts this month. So we're going to have to be on our toes again, guys.
Yep, we're going to have to bring it.
Some in-studio guests. I know we're going to be talking to people from Last Stop in Yuma County very soon this month.
That's right.
That's a movie that you're going to want to see.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody's in Last Stop in Yuma County. Everybody.
Yep.
Local boogeyman produced this thing. The fantastic director. Francis, I don't know how to say his last name. Galupi?
Yeah.
Galupi, yeah.
He's so fun.
He's a genius.
Amazing.
And he loves cinema, too.
And he loves props.
And he does, yeah. So we're going to get him in here. This movie's got Jim Cummings, Alex Esso, Jocelyn Donahue.
Richard Brake.
Yeah.
And the dude who played the cult leader... in Ty West's The Sacrament by the name of Gene Jones.
And there's a baby in it.
What? Is there?
It's a baby.
Oh, yeah, there is a baby in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is insane. If you're into, like...
Good movies.
In the vein of Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, this movie's going to be your jam. So we're going to talk to people from that. And yeah, I mean, hey, we gave you the list of stuff that's coming up at the top of the show. And you can kind of use your imagination and read between the lines as to who some of our next guests may be on this show. And you know what's funny? I was listening over the weekend to one of our earlier shows. The first time we had Jocelyn Donahue on, actually. So this is going back to probably, what, to maybe 2018? Like, wow. Way back when.
Yeah.
And I was listening to, like, there was a different sort of energy, right, that we had on the show back then. Super highly produced. And it was something that, like, I don't know. I know people in reviews and things, when they've talked about the show, their critique would be, oh, it sounds too produced. It moves too quickly. It's too wild. But it was fun to kind of go back and hear that energy. I'm curious, you listening now, did you like that? You miss that? Do you miss that, like, craziness? Or do you like the more loosey-goosey, kind of carefree delivery that we're kind of been doing lately? I'm just curious. Because, yeah, the last couple reviews have been particularly harsh on me anyway. Talking about the radio guy, sound like a morning show zoo or something.
I think it's just jealousy, man.
You can't.
There's somebody out there who listens to this and it's like, why does this show sound so good?
Well, man.
Not just the talent on the voices, you know, your voice or, you know, Lauren's or whatever. But I mean, it's the quality. It's the engineering that goes into, you know, it's not like we're turning on microphones and just hitting play on some USB mic on a laptop, you know, and we're hoping for the best, you know. Sure, technology is there to make it sound good these days, but if you don't know how to make it sound good and produce, you know, add music and intro, outro, and keep it to the point, you know, like no fluff, you know, pure killer, no filler, you know, people don't know how to do that. and it all comes down to your questions, you know, your thoughtful, insightful questions that you ask directors, writers, producers, actors in the genre, you know, that are, they're thrown back and like, oh, wow, like, great question. Like, you know, and if you don't believe me, I think back to the M. Night Shyamalan, which I killed myself because I couldn't be a part of it. I couldn't make it. But even M. Night Shyamalan was like, you know, when they were going to end the interview, he was like, no, you know, can you ask me another question? Because he was so, you know, just so into your questions, you know, and the quality of what you were asking about the cabin at the end of the world, you know. And I'm like, that just shows you that when people listen to that and they're jealous and you see the reviews, they're like, oh, it sounds like morning zoos. I'm like, fuck you. You know, these people, I don't know. They're just jealous, you know, and it's like, that's fine. But, you know, it's perfectly okay to hate something and not write something publicly, you know, it's perfectly fine, you know.
My whole thing go ahead.
I hate plenty of things out there, and I don't go out there and blog about it or like, fuck these guys, fuck this show, you know, these guys suck, you know. And
that's the worst, like putting negative stuff out there. Like, you have to put negative stuff out there. That part sucks. And I mean, to be honest, you know, off the record, that's a big part of, I think, why the delays in shows lately too. You know, at least as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I could say that, yeah, like, hearing that stuff and starting to believe some of that stuff, like, over the, you know, past year or so, and also like the influx of other shows that have popped up since we started doing this back in 2017. It's a different world, right? Like, again, we've talked about this before, when Zoom became traditional, like, you know, or acceptable, the norm to use Zoom and Skype, which was not done back in 2017. It was only in person, and there was only a few shows doing it. There's a lot of noise out there and a lot of criticism, and it's easy to kind of just fall into it and go, you know what? Why do I bother? Like, if people hate it, you know,
and we know not all of you hate it. If you've listened this far, you obviously don't hate it. Yeah. And I appreciate you for sticking with us. But I will say that you're getting something for free.
Like, well, you're talking to the negative people out there. Yes.
Not you listening. Yeah. But the people that are like, I'm going to tear you to shreds and write.
It's like a weird thing that people have to, like, really feel like they have to do that.
Yeah. It's like, I bought something and it's broken, or I ordered something at a restaurant and I didn't like it. It's like, you're not paying for this. Like, this, we're doing this because we love to do it and love to have conversations about horror and we love meeting people. Right. But it's like, it's one thing if you're paying us and you're not getting something you like, but you could just not listen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
it's the culture, man. Like, nowadays, people love to be the keyboard warriors and say stuff that they normally wouldn't say in person, I guess, and cut people down. I mean, our kids deal with it every day. Like, our kids are being bullied every day, and so are their friends online. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I wish Apple didn't have comments, because
Spotify lets you kind of filter.
Yeah, like, and you can post. I mean, you still see them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just, and they don't care, like, no matter what they say, even if they, you know, pick on you or belittle you or say some horrible things, or they'll just be like, whatever. I wish, I kind of ignore it because, let's be honest, like, I got so much going on. This is like the least of my worries, is what some kid in the middle of nowhere thinks of me. But it does wear on you.
Yeah.
But I try to stay away from those because I know I can't please everybody. Nobody can.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, I got to come to terms with that, you know, because since we've been doing the show, we've been putting a lot of ourselves into it, a lot of time away from family. Because we love doing it and we love sharing that experience with you listening. And yeah, sometimes, man, those negative comments just go, God.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, literally, it takes him like 6 hours to prep for an interview episode.
Well, it takes all you got, everybody. You know, it takes me a long time because I'm very incompetent at this. I don't do this naturally. So it's very hard for me. Takes me a long time because I'm an idiot, but
no, you're not. But
no, but that's the thing. It's, dude. You can look back at any guest, just spin the wheel of guests and pick one, and they're always going to say how great of a time they had on the show, how thoughtful your question, what a great question it was. You know, because you think of things that I don't, or think of things that Lauren doesn't. You know,
I think of the same way you guys. I just find that I just find it's like a general thing. And I don't know. And the horror community has changed. It's changed significantly.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of BS going on in the horror community, too. And it's just like...
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Stuff that wasn't going on before.
So, all of that, it's like, well, I'd rather have that 6 hours with Trevor because we do not get to spend a lot of time with each other because we are so busy and it goes back into the family. So, like, if we're not doing an episode, it's probably because we needed that time.
Right. Or we're just like watching horror and being fans of horror without being judged for it.
Right.
That's true.
And like hanging out with our friends and other, you know, like-minded people who we like sharing it with and who don't judge you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different. It's just different. And we keep saying we're going to try and get back into the swing of things. And it's something I want to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
It's just trying to make that commitment and not let, you know, kind of put the blinders on and filter all the other crap out and just focus on, I don't know, why we started doing this in the first place.
That's
but
true.
It's just a different, a different place. It just is.
It's a different time. Yeah, for sure.
It's a different place, man.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I know you have to edit this piece.
Yes. So. Lightly edit.
Okay.
This is, you know, like I said, going back to what got us into this little, you know, rabbit hole is that it used to be highly edited. Music under everything we were saying, movie clips being thrown left and right. And that was kind of the idea, to do this high energy, interesting hybrid of, you know, just something different as to other things that were out there, just to kind of do our own thing. And we've completely veered away from that. And my original question is to anyone still listening to this. Did that mean anything to you? Did that have any effect on what maybe brought you to us in the first place, or, you know, if you're new to this, if you'd like to hear something like that, or if you like just hearing a bunch of people just talking about movies they like and, you know, bringing in guests of people that they look up to. I don't know. Just curious. I guess we just end now.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
Anything else to say? Leo, you got anything to... Any button?
Oh, yeah, one last thing. I was a guest on It Came From the Midwest podcast.
Oh, cool.
Podcast. That was
awesome.
They're breaking down the Saw movies, and I'm on a future episode coming out soon on Saw 4. So we had a lot of fun chatting about that movie. So when that comes out, definitely check them out and check out the episode.
That's awesome. It Came From the Midwest. Saw 4. With Leo.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fun times.
Lauren and I are on Nobody's Podcast, but The Antiquarium of Sinister Happenings and Odd Goings On.
Yes.
It's available for you. We, of course, that belongs
fantastic.
To the antique dealer runs that. We have nothing to do with it, but very just press the on button for that one.
Yeah.
All right. You listening, thank you so much for your patience and your everlasting love and kindness, and thanks for being part of our family. And if you're in Pasadena, coming up at the end of May, beginning of June, come say hi, okay? It really means, like, it seriously means everything to us. And if you are near an Apple Podcast review page, hey, hit us up with some stars and say something kind. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, so that was the Boot Crew Podcast, episode 415, production tracks provided by Powerman 5000. There I am in my radio shit again. I'm Trev, and I'm half myself, more than Leo. It is your Boot Crew saying more episodes coming super soon, and...
Sweet screams.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Boo Crew Podcast. Haunt the Boo Crew at TalesFromTheBooCrew.com. Tales from the Boo Crew on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at TalesFromTheBoo. The Boo Crew is Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio. The Boo Crew is produced by Lauren Shand, chopped and sliced by Trevor Shand. The Boo Crew is a TSP creation, part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Bye.
A Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network. Home of the Boo Crew. Horror-centric interviews. SCP archives. Weekly full cast storytelling. Horror queers. Genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective. And creepy. For disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.